size boots that you got there, John? 10? Yeah. That right there don't me look like it's no different. I don't even know why that's important, but I just was noticing them good-looking boots. Take your Bible, if you will. Let me get my little button here turned on. It's good to be saved, to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. And all that right there. These boys over here look like they're wearing skis. Not that I care, not that I mind, and all that business right there. Ha! I mean, you just got to go ahead and go with what you got to have. That's all there is to it. Take your Bible, if you will. We're going to be looking over there in the book of 1 Samuel. In the book of 1 Samuel, in chapter number 2. If you find the place over there and you're able to stand, we'll look there in that chapter. 1 Samuel chapter 2. We looked at verse number 8 this morning. Let's look at verse number 9. And here's what he said. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces, and out of heaven shall thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength to his kings, and exalt the Lord of his anointed. And Elkanah went into Ramah unto his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and I would do thank you that thou art God from everlasting to everlasting, and beside thee there's none else. We ask your blessings now upon this crowd tonight. We pray you'd hide the word in our heart that we not sin against thee, and that we could teach transgressors thy ways. Thank you, Lord, for loving us, even while we were unlovable. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. I want to preach a little while on standing on solid ground and enjoying the silence. You know, there's a lot of muss and fuss and running to and fro and here and there and yonder. We've got people that are absolutely looking both ways from yesterday. They don't have a clue where they're going when they die, except to the cemetery somehow. But there ought to be more than that in a person's life to realize and know that there's a God in heaven. There's a heaven to be had and a hell to shun. In the lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find this morning, we were looking at how that God brought us up in verse number 8, how God delivered us from filthy rags of religion to a robe of righteousness in the Lord Jesus Christ. We said then this morning there, it gives you a better condition to be able to live in, a better company to be able to run with. It gives you a better country that you might be able to go to one of these days, and that is a citizenship that is in heaven. I will tell you, there's nothing like being saved by the wonderful and the marvelous grace of God. He saved our soul. Now, in the lesson we're looking at tonight, you'll find out that he'll keep your feet. I want to ask you this, is that just so you'll know it, is that every now and again, we just need to take a good examination of our feet and to be able to find out where they've been carrying us. Find out where you're going with it. Find out where you've been. And let me say to you that, if you will, that when you look at your feet, there ought to be something to rejoice about, that you're on a solid foundation tonight. There ought to be that. I can tell you this, when God saved our soul, he put our feet upon the solid rock. He established our going, and by the grace of God, you and I have been going ever since. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at, I mean, sometime we feel like that we're slipping. Remember over there, the psalmist, don't lose your text, but there was a psalm that it was in chapter number 73, and in Psalm chapter number 73, it was in about verse number 1 and 2. Truly God is good to Israel, even as such of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. You know why, don't you? Got to looking at too many other people besides the Lord. Verse 3 said, for I was envious at the foolish, and when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, for there were no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. Let me tell you something. God wants to guard your feet. God wants to guard your step. He wants to guard who you're listening to, why you're listening. You know, here we are tonight. We're gathered together like this. Probably everybody in this building here, besides some of these smaller ones, know the Lord. If they don't know the Lord, it's not because they've not heard it enough to be able to know him. But in the day we live in, you're going to find out is that sometimes we take for granted that because we know the Lord, been faithful to the house of God, in the church of the living God, that somehow or another we don't worry too much about it one way or the other. Let me just say to you that, if you will, that these boys that are growing up, I said something about these girls. You need to guard your heart. You need to guard your mind and all that business there. You get off in a dark place somewhere and people and boys are hugging and kissing around on you, it's going to mess your mind up. It's going to make your lust arise. And it's not, but sooner or later, you're going to be in trouble. And some of it's bad teaching that we've had in days gone by. Let me just say to you that, if you will, that we didn't, unbeknownst to me when it took place, but we've had teachers like for some of these girls that's bragged about having a full, what do they call that, when they jerk all the hair out of you? What do they call that? You know, when they put it on there and they rip that hair out and all? What's it called? Waxing, yeah. They've had a full body wax, yeah. I was thinking about that, and then I thought, no, that waxing, that's what you do to a car to make it shiny. But I just wanted to ask you this right here. Why would any teacher want to tell girls that they're teaching that they've had a full body wax? Well, let me just tell you something about you and your little hairless body. Nobody gives a rip about that. The Lord don't care about that. That same teacher recommended that these girls get on birth control. You don't need birth control unless you're going to be whoring around somewhere. You just need to learn to say no to more than just drugs. Yeah. I can guarantee you right now is that, see that finger right there? But not mine, but your finger right there. If you don't have engagement, it's not marriage. Why is it whenever somebody gets engaged that the woman starts wanting to act like they've been married 40 years and bossing everybody? Why is it that a man wants to control a woman because of an engagement? The engagement, friend, is not marriage. In fact, is you're going to find out is that whenever you get married, you're going to realize that, oh, there's going to be some tears come to your eyes every now and again over your light bill. I've already got my wife, you know, I've already got her a little gun shy. She's going to have to go see the dentist and got a thing. I said, you might as well get them all pulled. That's where it's at in the day we live in. You know? I'm just kidding about all that kind of. It's amazing in the day we live in at the nuts that slip into the house of God and go to telling people and teaching people things that they ought to keep their mouth shut about. See? I got to say to you that when you begin to look into it, you'll find out that the house of God's a place that you and I might be able to go to get instruction, receive instruction, to have a sure standing in the word of the Lord. The psalmist said, my feet had nearly almost slipped. You know why, don't you? Well, I'll tell you why. Because he was looking at the foolish and he was envious of them and wonder how in the world they got so much and I've got so little, and they're doing so good and I'm doing so bad. That's what the idea is there. And he said, I felt that way until after I went to the house of God and realized that I'm going to be with the Lord forever, and their days are numbered and going to be few, and they'll slide off into a pit of hell one of these days. I want to say that when you begin to look into it, the reason why that we've been held up and that he's kept us from slipping and falling and sliding is because of the grace of God, the mercy of God. And let me tell you, the Bible said over in the book of Psalm 37 that though a man fall, I'll tell you what he'll do is the Lord upholdeth him and takes care of him, so forth and on. I'll tell you what he does is he keeps our feet. Now, if you'll be obedient to the Lord, he'll keep your feet about where you're going, where you've been, where you're going next, who you're going with. See what I'm talking about? Let me just say to you that, if you will, that you need to recognize and realize and know that anytime somebody gives you some kind of instruction contrary to the doctrine of God, then you can ditch whatever they said and just stick with whatever God said. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out is that it does matter. It does matter what God says, and it does matter how you respond. And let me tell you, if you're going to walk with somebody, the first person you better walk with is the Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, I want you to notice number two, rather, is that the Lord one of these days is going to silence the wicked. And you know the reason why, don't you? The wicked spout their mouth off sometime. They don't have one idea what God says about the matter. And as a result, they're offended, not at me, and they're offended, not at you, when you tell them this is what the Lord says about that matter. When they get mad, they're not mad at you. They're mad at what God had to say. They would have rather you not said nothing to them, but as a result, I mean, who can speak against the Lord and be able to get away with him? This Bible said that, if you will please, is that there are people sometimes that are sitting in the game. And let me tell you, they'll give you the wrong instruction, if so being they're not giving you from the word of the Lord. You know, the Bible said over the book of Psalm 71, the enemies always speak against him. I can tell you right now, I'm not your enemy, and you're not each other's enemy. And if there is an enemy, it's because of the fact that the devil stirred you up and caused you to become an enemy of God and the people of God. And the reason being is, they don't like him. They don't like the Lord Jesus Christ. This Bible said that, if you will please, over in the book of Psalm 139, you don't have to turn there, but they speak against him wickedly. And let me tell you the reason why the heathen rage. Psalms 2:2, he said, why do the heathen rage and imagine a vain thing? I'll tell you why they rage. They're imagining things that are vain and things that are not holy and things that are not real and that are not right in the sight of God. In this lesson that we're looking at, you'll find is that this Bible says that the heathen are always taking counsel in Psalm 2:2. They're always taking counsel against the Lord and against his anointing. That means they rise up against the Lord Jesus Christ. They rise up against God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And this Bible said that in verse number 2 of Psalm chapter 2, he said, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. The Bible said that he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Somebody said, you know, God must have a sense of humor. No, it doesn't say anything about God laughing, but he shall laugh. He shall laugh. He's going to laugh at some of the wickedness of these people that are here. And in the book of Psalm chapter 2 in verse number 9, thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, and thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. I got to say to you that when you begin to look into this Bible lesson, you begin to recognize the dawn. God may seemingly be letting the wicked get by with a few things. I can tell you the reason why Maxine Waters is still alive. Because God is more merciful than I am. I can tell you why the worst person that hates your guts is still living and prospering. Is because God is long-suffering more than I am and than you are. But you rest assured, dear friend, their day's coming. And when it does, it's going to be a time of reckoning. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out is that our life and our lip ought to magnify the Lord. Over in Psalm 30, verse number 1, he said, I will extol thee. You know what that means? That means you're going to praise him and praise him enthusiastically, not just simply going through the motions, but I guarantee you praising God with all of your heart and your soul and your every fiber of your being. Now, I want to tell you something. If his word is in your heart, I can tell you what it'll do is it'll also be in your hand. Over there in the book of Psalms 119, we'll not turn there, but the Bible said there that he said, I'm going to lift my hands, and he mentioned it concerning preaching and expounding the word of the Lord. I'm going to lift my hands. And then over there, the Bible says in the book of Psalm 28, you'll find out in verse number 2, he said, I'm going to lift my hand toward the holy, toward thy holy oracles and so forth and on. I can promise you right now, over in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2, he says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. Let me tell you right now, we ought to raise our hands unto the word of the Lord and the preaching of it, and we ought to raise holy hands unto God and for the fact that we can offer our prayer and our petition unto him. I want to say that when you begin to look into it, you'll find that these are men that knew God, that knew the Bible, and that certainly that believed that what God had given them had been sacred. Now, in the passages that we're looking at tonight, over in 1 Kings in chapter number 2, you can read over there in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Now, here's what he said concerning prayer. He said, I'm going to make this a settled place right here, the house of God. And he said, what I'm going to do is I've got my name there, going to be there forever. And he says that if a person has got a drought, I'll tell you what you can do. You can come to this house and offer prayer, and I'll hear prayer that's offered in this place. If I shut up heaven that it rains not and there's a drought, you can offer prayer toward this house that he's gotten made for himself. And he says, and I'll hear and I'll answer prayer. Now, I want to tell you right now, the average Baptist doesn't have any idea what that means. And the reason being is most of them are in church and out of church, but they're more out now or in. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's not anything more important to you nor your family than being faithful and dedicated and consecrated to the house of God. And I'm not talking about people that are sick. If you're sick and need to be at home, we want you to. We don't want to be sharing all of that business there. So I'm not knocking that. And I'm not talking about you folks that come in here, and though you sound like you're coughing up a lung and a half, we're not talking about you either. We know that's an allergy. Thank you very much. See there, did you hear that allergy? I said all that to be able to say this, is that you're going to find out that what God says over in the book of John, Jesus said in I-5, he lifted up. And I'll tell you, he said, I'll draw all men unto me. Do you realize at all that speaking and doing go together concerning the word of the Lord? In this lesson that you're looking at here, the drawing power of God is when he comes tugging at your heart. Remember whenever God saved you and he come knocking on your heart's door and begin to tug at your heart and you felt like, you know what, the preacher has got me singled out. But it wasn't the preacher in the pulpit. It was the preacher of the Holy Ghost of God dealing with your heart. And let me say to you that when you begin to look into it, is that you better know something about you better just know about what you're saying concerning chapter, book, and verse. And then you better know another chapter, book, and verse when somebody shows up to give an argument because of the fact they didn't like this or like that. And the reason they don't like it is because it's on them. I can't tell you on a Sunday afternoon, it's not a good time to come visit with me, but I can tell you in all these years I've had more than one visitor in the middle of the afternoon. Not because they thought that I was dying with throat cancer, but because they were offended and the Spirit of God had driven the stake and the wedge of conviction right through their heart. Now, it won't take long to be able to tell whose side you're on when that happens. I want to say in closing that, if you will please, that the drawing power of God, you know, the cross, the reason why he was lifted up is for those that had been bitten by the serpent. Remember that? And whosoever looked upon that would be able to be made whole, so forth and on. Now, I want to tell you something, is that you can get some help tonight if you need it, and it'll come from the Lord. You can forget about everybody else and anything else that didn't come from the Lord, and just focus on what came from the Lord. You don't need a full body wax. You need a full Bible wax. And the word that God is in every fiber of your being. I want to say to you over in the book of Isaiah, and you can turn there, we'll quit in a minute. But in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 51, verse number 6 down through 8, there's a passage that we ought to look at, Psalms chapter 51, and about verse number 6. Now look what he said. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look upon the earth beneath. The heavens shall vanish away like smoke. And the earth shall wax old like a garment. They that dwell therein shall die. In like manner, he said, but my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Boy, that's good news, isn't it? Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, and people in whose heart is my law, and fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revelings. I want to say to you that when you begin to look into this passage that's there, you begin to recognize and you begin to realize and know that God's wanting us to see that everything that's here is a temporary thing. You want something that'll last forever? You'll have to get it from the hand and from the heart of God. Verse 8, the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. I want to say to you that, if you will, please, is that you want something that'll last forever, from now on, that worms can't eat it and corrupt it, moths can't get in and mar it, and things can't, rust can't farm upon it. You want something like, you want something that's as new and fresh and alive today and a thousand years from now. Somebody said, how do you know that? The promise of God. See? I can't tell you where I'm going to be tomorrow. I've got an idea to, but I can't tell you. There have been times that I woke up and thought I was going to do this or that, and it ended up that God intervened and I wound up in the hospital. I can't tell you tomorrow where I'm going to be, but I can tell you where I'll be a thousand years from now. If you're a child of God, so can you. It's good to be saved and to know the Lord in the free pardon of sin. And if you've not yet received Him when He came tugging and knocking, may the Lord help you the next time He knocks for you to open up and receive Him into your heart and soul. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Our Father, we want to thank You for this sermon tonight. And Lord, we pray that You'd hide it in our hearts that we not sin against Thee, that we could teach transgressors Thy ways. Now build a hedge about the hearts and minds of these young boys and girls, these young men and young ladies. I pray You'd save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray.